go. Oh, shit, now? Next. Okay. Hey, everybody. I missed you. Have you missed me? I doubt it, but one can hope, I guess. Look, guys, we live in New York. We have our own lives. Shit gets busy. I'm sorry. It's been a while. It's just me and Danny today. Hi, Danny.
What's going on?
Nothing much, buddy. Thanks for coming over.
Yeah.
Cornell is not here. He's, you know, he's busy. He has a new job. He doesn't want us talking about it. I don't think we can talk about it yet.
I don't think so.
I don't really give a shit. Yeah. But he's just working like a fucking madman. And we're trying to figure out a time that would work out the best for us to do this. Right now, Saturdays seem like the best, yeah. But I'm down to try something else. So we'll touch base with Cornell soon and figure out when we can get a group podcast going. And also, we've had a lot of guests kind of fall out. You know, we don't offer money or anything like that. And he will do this because they're being nice and they want to have a little more exposure or help expose us. But I get it, you know, day of cancel or hour before, yeah, before so yeah. Cancel. I get it. You know, we're not anything big, but it does make things difficult. When we try to schedule a podcast and then it doesn't work out for like, what, 6 weeks? It's been a while.
I looked at the last one we put. Yeah, say about 6 weeks.
That's too long.
But, you know, we're going to have some stuff soon.
Mm-hmm.
Get this ball rolling now that we're talking about it.
Yeah.
We got to do some things. They'll be done.
Yeah. And now it's, you know, yeah. I feel like, especially with my life, again, because I'm trying to do multiple things and I'm trying to figure some things out with both teaching and training and also now stand-up comedy. I wanted to get the ball rolling, really, with the stand-up comedy. Like, yeah. I'm really good at, like, putting my nose to the grindstone and just putting my head down, just working. Putting the work. Yeah. And then it's like...
I'm good at talking about it.
Yeah, you're...
Oh, yeah, I'm going to do this. Maybe a little bit of that, too.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it doesn't happen or it takes too long.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing the comedy thing. You're getting up 3 times a night now, right?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I think I'm at an average of 5 times a week.
That's good.
Which is what I want. I want 5. And now I feel like I've hit up... the right spots that kind of help my schedule that I can actually hit them and it's not too difficult for me with the dog and like with teaching and stuff. So I'm happy I got the ball rolling on that. So now,
close by.
What's that?
All the places are pretty close.
Yeah, they're pretty close by. They're all in Brooklyn, all within a bike's ride away.
Yeah.
So now I feel like we can now step two of this, you know, really put more effort into the podcast, more into the show, more into videos and stuff like that. Which now it's getting nice out, except for fucking
yesterday. It's fucking terrible.
That's ridiculous.
Worse. I'm a delivery guy.
Ugh. I was like, oh, cool. I'm glad I didn't throw away my winter coat because I need it again.
I packed all my hats. Luckily, I had one in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Put the hat on the head with the shitty. I got a shit haircut. Can we just talk about this real quick?
I wasn't going to say anything, but I don't need it. It's shitty.
No. Went to Tom, I'm gonna blow it up. Tomcat's Barbershop.
Uh-huh.
Don't go to Joey. Fuck that guy. He's the owner. Real dick. Real dick. So I've had four haircuts from him. Two were good. Last one was okay. He's my second guy, like the last resort guy I go there. Actually, the owner of the shop. Sit down. All he does is rant. Talks about drugs. Talks about how weed is too strong for him now. Talks about how New York is all changing. He's not even from New York.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from New York. He's not from here. Talking about how everything is getting more fucked up. It's like, yeah, I wonder why.
Mm-hmm.
People like you move here,
mm-hmm.
complain about him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this haircut, this is not what I wanted. It was $35.
Oh,
be real mad.
Yeah, I can imagine. Blast. You definitely put him on blast there with
full
some
blast. Fuck you, pay me.
some shit about illegal things.
So if anybody listens and you're in Brooklyn and you cut hair, I'll come to your house and give you straight cash.
Mm-hmm. Like I know some guys.
Yeah,
I think so.
We'll see what's up.
Some friends of friends. I think you look fine.
Really?
I think you look fine.
Thanks, bro.
How's your shoulder?
Shoulder hurts real bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I haven't gone to the doctor for it.
Mm-hmm.
I put some stuff on it, sauna. I make my girl rub it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been doing some stretches I saw on the internets. And I feel like they've been helping.
That's good.
But yesterday it started to hurt again. Then I watched a video with some chiropractor in Colorado, and he went into real good detail, and it was like a 20-minute video, and it was pretty helpful. So I think I might go the chiropractor way, or maybe I'll get an MRI.
Mm-hmm.
I do have some insurance, but I'm not sure how much it will cover, so I'm on. I gotta really step it up and.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things that it's not going to go away.
Yeah, yeah. I was just hoping it would.
Yeah, like, oh, always.
I've had mad injury in my knee, ankle. I'm never not injured. Mm-hmm. The first 6 months of training, I had the same shoulder injured from doing something stupid with like a heavy weight from like before I started training. Mm-hmm. So I was like, it's not going to heal. So I just started training. And then like literally after first 3 months of training, every day I would bike home with one hand because my arm hurt so bad.
Yeah,
but I was like, I gotta do it. So now I'm at the point where it's like, if I don't roll for 3 days, I start to get weird. I start to get antsy. I start to like, I hug my girl from the back and I like put my, I like wrist control her.
Nice,
you know, constantly constant scorpion.
It's like, you
know?
she's
like, stop controlling my body. I can't help it.
That's some you're going through BJJ withdrawals.
Yeah, so I gotta go no matter, even if I get hurt again.
Yeah,
it's worth it.
It oddly is. It's so weird.
Like my parents are like, oh, that shit you do, you're always getting hurt.
And I like how your parents and your girlfriend have the same voice.
Yeah, yeah. All the same category.
Not you. Yeah, yeah.
Not me. But I mean, everybody who tells me like, why do you do this? And you know, you get hurt and shit. Like, would you rather be injured and not, and know how to fight or know stuff, or not, or be 100% healthy and not know anything?
Mm-hmm. It's a very difficult thing I found to explain to people the benefits of it. Not only, I think it's easy to explain someone, oh, I know how to fight now. Yeah. That's pretty very on the surface level of jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Totally, but. The things that I've equated that have helped me with specifically jiu-jitsu and life. Like, I always tell, like, the guys when I'm done teaching, like, we'll talk or something like that. And I always tell them, like, if jiu-jitsu was only applied to your time on the mats, it wouldn't be that cool. But the fact that it applies in the rest of your day-to-day life makes it so interesting, because I keep finding myself doing jiu-jitsu in the real world, you know, in the day-to-day world, where it's like, oh, I didn't realize that before jiu-jitsu I would treat the situation X, Y, and Z, and now I can calmly evaluate and take myself emotionally out of the equation and just figure out this is what's best for this given situation.
Yeah, I don't freak out. Like, one example, ziplining Costa Rica.
Mm-hmm.
I don't fucking like heights.
Mm-hmm.
Not into things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we went ziplining. The first run was like pretty terrifying. It was a short run. And I was like, oh shit. But I calmed myself down halfway through it. The next one was still scary. And I was like, it was much higher than the first one. So I calmed myself down in the beginning. Then I was fine. Then there was like a run that was about a mile. Like literally.
Wow.
Really fucking
far. Holy shit.
And it was crazy. And I think they... Maybe I look heavier than I am, but mm-hmm. I should have been tandem. So I got stuck in the middle.
Oh, no.
Real cool. So I had to spin around and pull myself through. Like, you spin around and you pull yourself on the top of the...
So you keep going the same direction.
Yeah, but you're going the same direction, and then you spin. So you go backwards, and then you grip from the
back. Yeah, yeah. And you kind of fling yourself.
Yeah, yeah. So I did that. And I was calm as shit, and I was real high in the air. And
totally.
Like, yeah, but it was cool though.
It's again, it's an ability to be comfortable in the discomfort.
Just like breathe, control. Yeah, that's good.
I feel like if you, like you said, I don't like heights. Yeah. I feel like that's a very good evolutionary response. I don't think people are supposed to like heights. Like, it's a weird thing. Like, if someone says I like heights, like, oh, you're supposed to be dying and get out of the gene pool.
I think so. Yeah. I think some people like heights. My dad, we were doing some work on a roof once,
mm-hmm.
and this motherfucker walks like steady pace to the edge of the roof and just stops at the edge of the roof and looks down, and I'm fucking freaking out.
Yeah.
Freaking out.
There's always that
I couldn't do it.
There's always that thing when people say about heights that people get very tense and fearful at the edge of heights because subconsciously they want to jump.
Oh yeah, I so want to jump. every time I'm like, I could just fucking jump and it'd be like cool. But then I die.
Yeah, so you're cool for a little bit, and then that's it.
I could just, like, that bird instinct in me.
Yeah.
I want to fly.
That's cool, you have bird instincts.
Yeah, I got bird instincts.
Like, do you also, like, peck at things? And like things, yeah.
I'm head first in jiu-jitsu, so I have fucking, my ears are like this a little bit, so.
Bird instincts is a new hashtag for Danny.
Yeah.
That's so weird, man. Yeah, I've never done zip lining. I definitely noticed my jiu-jitsu internals mechanism cutting in when I did roller coasters.
Yeah, he told me. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is not scary or fun anymore. I can really, I can just breathe.
Or cage fighting?
I think it's from jiu-jitsu. I don't think I was fighting before. I don't think I was in a fight before that. It's just the ability to breathe.
Yeah.
Is what's really, is really useful. That's why, like, some of the best students I've ever had came from yoga.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, what did you used to do? Because you're doing this very intelligently. You're not freaking out. It's like, oh, I used to do yoga. It's like, that makes sense. You're taught to breathe.
Yeah.
But it's weird, man.
I want to get into more yoga.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just hate going to a yoga like studio.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird.
Is it like a woo-woo vibe?
It's like, oh, namaste.
Uh-huh.
And,
they definitely say that.
Yeah,
you just find it pretentious, or
yeah. Uh-huh.
So yeah, just do yoga on your own. Get some get some divs.
The videos, right?
Some DVDs
on Yoto.
Yoto got a Hannibal. Watch your videos on Yoto.
Yeah. You ain't funny. Well, you jerk off.
Why don't you watch? All right. Anyway, sorry, doing someone else's bits. Yeah. Hannibal is hilarious.
Do other people's bits for the rest of the podcast.
This one guy, I did an open mic, and this kid was a little bit of a weirdo. He's like ranting.
Weirdo on open mic.
Yeah, he's weirdo in that, even to that level.
Dang.
And he's talking about a bit, and in my head I'm like, oh, that's such and such's bit, and he references that it's such and such's bit, and he's like, oh, that's their bit, but I think it's very funny, and like, and then I went up right after him, like, you can't do that, you can't just talk about someone else's material, even though you're crediting them. That's just weird.
Yeah, he must be like watching that person. And just watching them all day on YouTube and listening to their podcast and like get sucked into them too much.
Well, like that happens with anyone. Influence, you know, you could be influenced by someone's material or cadence or even how they deliver. Like there's a lot of Mitch Hedberg dudes and there's a lot of David Tell kind of dudes or who else is really popular? Even Todd Barry. But to actual word for word, like.
Yeah, just rip.
That's weird, man.
You should blow him up. What's his name?
No, he's a nice kid.
What's he look like?
Terrible.
terrible looking.
Yeah. This comedy thing, like, it's going to be, it's 5 months so far. I started in December. It's been 5 months.
Yeah.
And I've been, for the last 2 to 3 months, it's been at least 3 to 5 times a week.
Yeah.
And I've been, like, really attacking it in the same way that I've attacked training.
Yeah.
And it's A, being, I'm really good at sacrifice. Like, I can just not hang out with people and like not talk to girls and not go out and not, you know, call my parents. But it's like, my one skill is to be able to completely become obsessed with something and let it take over my life. And like, I've been doing this now for a few months, you know, a blip, but now I'm doing it. Like if I do it at Pine Box, those are some of the funniest people in the country because they moved here for that. And that's where they work out. And I just jumped into their fucking workout room. It's like same feeling I had when I went to Almeida's and started sparring with those pro guys and like Frankie Edgar and Edson Barboza and Marlon Moraes. And they're next to me, you know, and I'm just some fucking kid that doesn't know any better. But the skill for me, or again, how success is relative, how I talk about in jiu-jitsu, where if you're in a bad position, you can't escape. Make being able to be comfortable there and breathing your success.
Yeah.
So for me right now, not only is it just doing it success, but being okay with kind of like not being the funniest person in the room because all these dudes are like pros, at least close to it, or have been doing it for plural years.
Yeah.
And I'm a few months in.
Yeah.
And like not letting it break me, you know, not letting it like I'm not good enough, not letting it make me think that I'm not good enough or not funny enough.
It's because you know from training that you start at zero.
Yeah.
You know that, like, oh, I'm going to get over this white belt stage.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I'll be there. One day I'll be purple belt.
Yeah. In comedy.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's not even getting over it or getting past it, but picking up the skills that you need to at that level.
Yeah.
And I feel like so many people are so afraid to look stupid that they will try and bypass that time and look like someone who's doing it for a long time. I've noticed this in tattooing, oddly enough. Like, this might seem like out of nowhere. I used to work at a tattoo shop.
Right.
Most of my friends are tattooers. Yeah, I'm heavily tattooed. And the thing is, just like everything else, you start at zero. You learn how to draw. and you copy Flash, and you tattoo basic, traditional, simple things to, like, have a good foundation of how to tattoo.
Right.
But a lot of people I've noticing are jumping to just having a certain thing.
Oh,
like they have
their niche,
their little style, their... I only do...
Gray.
Yeah, I only do this kind of poking, or I only do this kind of shading. And it's like, oh, that's not cool. That's a huge weakness.
Right.
You were unwilling to work through the hard parts, and you just want to skip to the cool parts, which I hate that. That's like the whole thing about anything that's worth doing is worth doing the whole way.
Yeah.
That's like, there's people that I see on like Instagram and stuff, and it's like people will like love their work, but it's just like there's no depth to it.
Famous tattoo artists can't do, like, only do this style and shit, right?
Some.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, if you get really good at a certain style, people are going to want that. So that's all you end up doing, but it looks like it's all you can do. But there's a huge difference between being able to do something and not doing something.
Right.
Which is a bummer. And again, right now, with where I am with jiu-jitsu, where I am with comedy, it's being okay with those downfalls in that specific checkpoint, you know?
Man, it's like every day I wake up and I just want to get better at jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, me too.
It's like, I just feel like, it's really weird how I feel. I can't really explain it, but I feel like that I can see it. I can see what I want, and I know how to get there. But I just like can't. It's like, you know, when you're in a dream and you're running, you can't run fast.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel like, because I feel like, oh, I really feel like I wasted a lot of my time not training before, like doing music.
Sure, sure, sure.
And I'm like, why didn't I just go to do jiu-jitsu? Why didn't I have my parents put me in this when I was like a kid or something?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is wrong with them? Thanks,
yeah,
Mom.
No,
but like I just feel weird now. I feel like I see it and I want it, and it's not going as fast as I want to in my head.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I just need to train more and
train again. Like, yes, mat time is obviously the key, but it's the quality of the mat time, that's dependent upon you. Your thought process is when you're on the mats.
Yeah,
and the hard part about it is. To be very purposeful in a chaotic situation, someone trying to choke you and break your arm, is not only difficult, but also it's a very important skill.
Right.
And what I've noticed, well, what I'm trying to do for me, since I'm not training as much as I used to, I'm only training really three times, three or four times. And even though when I teach, I do roll with the guys because it's usually an odd amount of people. It's getting the most out of each partner, stealing as much as I can from them.
Yeah.
And putting myself in positions that benefits us both in a weird way. But again, that's all has to be within me first.
Right. Like, you let more things happen.
I have to with certain people.
Yeah.
Like, I wrote something. Did you read the thing I wrote?
Yeah.
I wrote, if you look at walkingalonenyc.com, I wrote a little, I'm not going to call it an article. I don't know what I'd call it. A piece.
Yeah.
I wrote a piece about.
Little thing.
Yeah. A piece called. Act As If. And I remember first hearing about it. It's a video I posted too. In that movie Boiler Room. Did you ever see that movie?
No.
It's really good. It's Paul. Giovanni Ribisi. And Jamie Kennedy's in it. And Ben Affleck. It's a good movie about like these like shitty Wall Street guys that aren't really on Wall Street.
Oh.
Or traders and shit.
Yeah.
But Ben Affleck has a speech about Act As If. And he's like, these people can't see you. Pretend you're the boss. Pretend you're the CEO of this company. It doesn't matter. Whatever place you need to put yourself to get the job done.
Be it.
Be that.
Yeah.
So with my training is I always, whenever I roll with someone, I think I like in my head will like terminator list what they're good at and what they're weak at. And I go, okay, let me put myself at what they're good at and get the most out of that. Or if it's someone who is like, I don't want to name specific names, but like someone who's, let's say blue belt,
right,
who is stronger than I am.
Right.
My goal in that position or against that person would be to get out of as many submissions as possible
let them
get to it in an honest way. Like, I'm not going to just lay there and give them my arm.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll still roll with them so they feel like they're actually learning, because it's going to be dick of me just stick my arm out. But that's been the catalyst for my own growth within the last few years, because I was thinking about this the other day. Like, I've been a purple belt now for almost 3 years. And I remember getting my purple belt And I remember what my jiu-jitsu game was like, and like I didn't know anything. Like, I was so bad in my head. Looking back now, I'm like, I know so much more than I did then. I want that to happen when I get my brown belt.
Yeah,
that I look back on getting my brown belt and go like, oh, I didn't know anything.
Yeah,
but it's so easier said than done.
You gotta send me a list of what I'm good at, what I'm bad at.
Okay. I get your one thing you have to work on is controlling your emotions when you roll people.
Yeah.
You're too competitive. Not too competitive, but like you let your emotional dislikes of people or competitiveness with certain people take over the role, and you get sloppy and you get too worried about the submission, the win, instead of the learning.
A few people.
I'm not saying everyone. A few people.
But I haven't. I haven't had a bad role in a long time. I don't think I can have one anymore.
Why is that?
It's just that I'm so like, I feel like I'm past, kind of mentally prepared for that. Like I'm just ready, just open. And then when somebody's going hard, sometimes I will get a little too pissed and go hard with them, but I'll just try to stay calm. I've really like the past like few weeks, I've been like really like there, like just waiting for them to move and then not like trying to take too much.
Mm-hmm.
And then like that's while I'm doing that, while I'm calming myself as calm as I can be. And then that's when the mistakes start happening. I see things going on and I feel better about it. Even if like, to me, if I get, I'd rather get a takedown than a submission.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause right now what I'm focusing on is trying to learn sweeps and practice sweeps and passing and takedowns. I'm not submissions, like, you know, I'll take if it's there depending on what level of person I'm rolling with is.
But that makes me ask, what did you consider a bad role?
Before, I considered a bad role of me being bottom side the whole time getting fucking smashed.
Okay.
But that was, but I'm past that now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind being bottom side at all. Pretty comfortable there, oddly enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel good about the path I'm going to go down now.
Good.
With the jiu-jitsu game.
Yeah. Like,
even takedowns, it's just like, it's something changed like the past month. I feel like I just got like little details, but I'm still not where I need to be. I see it now. I didn't see it before. I didn't understand. Like, why can't I, when I'm going for a double, why am I always getting stuffed on?
And yeah.
Now I know, I know what's going on.
Yeah. But it's all happens after you clock in those numbers, you know, like the epiphany and the physical have to kind of click and sync up, because that's when things start really mixing and things become really interesting. Like I remember I told before, like in the first 2 years of training, I don't think I ever threw like actual landed a good judo throw, like a good hip throw. And I remember like I'm like, I don't think judo was my thing. I don't think it's, I think I'm too, and I make excuses.
Yeah.
You know, it's not for me. I'm too tall. These guys are heavier than me, you know?
That's my excuse for Greco.
Yeah, that's the problem. You can't.
Too weak.
No, you have to just, it just takes time, you know? And then, like, I remember, like, out of nowhere, I started committing more and stopped caring so much. And I just commit my body to that hip throw, and it, boom, was there. Now judo's, like, my favorite thing. I love judo.
Yeah, I like judo a lot. I really.
So much. It's so romantic.
Yeah.
To me. It's just, like, it's like ballroom dancing with just a little flash of violence.
Like, the, a little.
Yeah, a little foot sweep and you're done.
Foot sweeps, I love it. I just want to get good at them.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
Because like if you're watching Machida fight, like he'll just throw little foot sweeps inside of combinations.
What I like about Machida is when he's, you know, you're squared up, they're both in their stances, and he'll just come and kick the person's front leg,
mm-hmm.
and it's like he kicks the front leg out and goes right into a takedown, or sometimes he gets the takedown off of just kicking their front leg.
Mm-hmm.
I watched like 40 minutes of that online one day.
Who did you just lose to?
Rockhold.
Rockhold, that motherfucker. It's insane how great not only the WEC fighters are doing, but the Strikeforce fighters.
Strikeforce. Oh, they're all doing.
They're all doing really good. Well, I mean, you know, all that came over. Rhonda, Nick, Rockhold.
Yeah.
Fedor. Bigfoot. Who else came? Henderson. That's so weird. Henderson was in Strikeforce.
Weird. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That was a while ago, yeah.
Barnett, Daniel Cormier.
Yeah, yeah.
Daniel Cormier is a there, motherfucker. Yeah. He wasn't the champion. He was the Grand Prix. He won the Grand Prix, the heavyweight Grand Prix.
What's that?
It was this heavyweight tournament they did. And he wasn't even in it. Someone got injured and he just jumped in.
Really?
And then beat Barnett and then beat Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, who the fuck is this dude?
He's a beast. And then to see what John Jones did to him,
yeah,
scary.
It's like, oh, wow, there's so many levels to this shit.
Yeah. It's nuts. I'm kind of excited. I wonder what the Rumble, John Jones? Rumble and Jones, yeah.
That's going to be interesting.
It's going to be.
Because I think Rumble is the kind of guy who does not give a fuck. And he's just like, okay, keep hitting me. I'm going to get closer.
Yeah, yeah.
Like most guys, I'm like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much they're okay with being hit. John's going to be able to just keep pecking him away.
Yeah.
But Rumble's a different monster.
Yeah, he's a fucking beast. Big ass head.
And tonight is, right now it's Saturday afternoon. 180, UFC 1, what is it? 86 is happening in a little bit later tonight. Demetrius Johnson's going to fight against, I can't pronounce his last name, Horiguchi, that sounds like an insult. And Rampage is fighting Maldonado, one of my favorite boxers, actually. I say boxer because he doesn't really use that many kicks. Mm. But it breaks my heart with Maldonado because I love his loose shoulder punch style. It's very boxing styled. And he just used a little bit more level changes and takedowns, it'd be so much more difficult to fight him. But he's like Rampage, except Rampage looks for the knockout, and Maldonado has a little more of a slap approach.
Who's he training under?
Rampage?
No,
Maldonado. I have no idea.
I wonder what camp he's in.
I have no idea. Oh, and Bisbing CB Dolloway.
Oh, I didn't know that. Jeez.
Yeah, it should be an interesting fight. I don't know.
His eyes all fucked up.
It's weird how much different he looks after that eye thing.
I can't see shit. That's a big fear of mine.
Yeah, but that should be DJ. I think him and Frankie Edgar are my favorite fighters in the world. And DJ's just not only how he fights, but him as a person. Like he's just such a rad, nice dude. No negativity. Trains under Matt Hume, who's a fucking wizard. Kind of dude you'd love to be neighbors with.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. Like if he lived in my building, and like I know there would be no loud nonsense from him.
No.
He'd be a good dude.
He's a good dude. He's a family man.
Yeah.
It's weird.
But they fight at 125.
Yeah, DJ fight at 125.
I walk around at 135, and I couldn't imagine losing 10 pounds.
Yeah, you're also like a foot taller than these guys, though.
Oh.
DJ's like 5. I'm not going to say that. No, let me see how tall he is. Keep talking.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just feel like if I lose any weight, I just wouldn't be able to walk. Let's say there's somebody my size, 135.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'8".
5'8". He's 5'3".
I'm
5'3". He's
giant.
Oh man, he's 5'3". That is nuts. Well, his middle name is Krishna.
Krishna.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna. That's crazy. I never heard.
He's a bad motherfucker.
Yeah. Everything.
5'3" and 125 pound man that could just wreck your life.
Yeah.
But
where would somebody like me, what would I do? Let's say I was good.
If you're at that weight right now, you'd have to fight at 25. You can't fight at 35.
No way. People are like, I guess.
But the thing is, you're not built like a professional fighter, though. You're just walking around.
Yeah.
You're in good shape, but don't get me wrong, but you're not in professional fighter shape.
I'm in great shape.
Okay.
Six pack.
You don't sweat.
Six pack. I got nice calves.
I'm kind of in the middle like that, too.
Yeah, like.
I have to fight at 35. 45 is like a cure. Like, those dudes are way bigger than me.
Yeah.
Like, I train with them. I train with 45ers, and they're just so much bigger than me.
Weight-wise. 60.
I'm taller than them.
Yeah.
That's the funny thing about sparring in the early days when guys didn't know me. I'm tall, so they'd assume I was, like, a 55er or even even the size of a 70-pounder. So, like,
yeah, you're the same height as
go that. Hard.
GSP, right?
Yeah, I'm the same height, and we have the same reach.
Yeah.
It's weird.
But he weighs...
He weighs a good 30 pounds more than I do.
He's got those thighs.
He's got those beautiful man thighs.
They're
those milky Canadian.
Yeah. Yeah. Just
karate thighs.
He's
a bad motherfucker.
Yeah.
He
said, I listened to him speak recently. He said that he doesn't want to compete in Metamoris or any.
Bummer.
Any grappling competition because he says like he doesn't think he's good enough.
He's honest.
Yeah, but I don't know.
good enough is a relative. I mean, depends who he's going with.
I think he's, I don't know. I mean, he doesn't want to look bad, I think.
Who does? I don't know. I think, yeah, Chilson's, well, Chilson's a different animal.
He's number two.
I wonder who would be a good match, because they wouldn't put him against another MMA guy.
No, it would be just a jiu-jitsu
guy. It would be a jiu-jitsu guy, and it's like, that's kind of unfair. They'd have to put him against a brown belt. He's not black belt jiu-jitsu. He's a black belt, but not in terms of elite grapplers.
Yeah.
Like someone who just got promoted or something like, you know, something like that. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, like that whole scene, the tournament scene, like, those black belts compared to other, like, normal black belts, like, they just, they make, I've seen videos that were of black belt competitions, and the one black belt looks like a white belt mm-hmm. with another black belt, mm-hmm. and that's fucking scary.
Yeah, there's levels to it, man.
It's crazy.
Because the black belt, is again, it doesn't mean a specific level. It means the fulfillment of potential. You know, like you are the black belt version of yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Of what you could possibly become to a degree. Obviously, they're not going to just give it to somebody because they've been training for 10 years. Yeah. You have to put some skill behind it. But, you know, it's not always like, it's not like Taekwondo where it's like tests.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you're Roy Dean or something.
He makes tests for people.
Yeah, he does tests. I don't know if he teaches anymore. He got weirdo.
I know like Henner and Huron, they do that online thing and they test. They do like stripe tests on blue belts and all that shit.
But they're a business at this point. They're like an empire.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like it. I don't like tests.
I don't. Yeah, I don't. That's weird. I don't like the. I couldn't learn from online.
Yeah.
Like I feel like
it's better than nothing, but it's just weird. Yeah.
You got to be there. Somebody has to. Like when professor moves my body while I'm doing something wrong, and I'm like. Oh, you know, you get that. Oh, okay. Now, it's like, you know, if I watched it, I would just be doing it wrong for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Not the way I'd want to learn.
Yeah.
But again, better than nothing.
Yeah. I'm still impressed with those guys, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just still trying to figure out who would be a good matchup for GSP in a jiu-jitsu terms.
I can't.
There's some brown belt badasses that.
I don't know any brown belts there. I don't know.
Oh, hey, I'll think about it later. Mayweather Pacquiao's coming up.
Yep.
That's exciting. I'm going to watch at your house. You're doing? Okay. I'm coming over.
Yeah.
And I'm rooting for Mayweather, by the way.
Oh, that's not going to go over well at all.
Who's going to stop me?
I'm the only one that's close enough to stop you. And I don't know if anybody of the listeners has seen me roll with Diego, but he can stop me pretty quickly. And it's real fun.
It's fun. You're doing great. No, I like Mayweather's style better. That's all it is.
I don't.
Why not?
Because he hides.
Hides what?
He hides his fucking face behind his shoulder too much.
Oh, he's too good at boxing?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
He's too good at the sport.
He's too good.
Not enough passion. Okay, this is my prediction for the fight.
Okay.
Pacquiao's going to win the first one.
The first what? Fight?
Oh, there's going to be three.
Okay.
They're making over $100 million each fight. They're going to be caked out. This is it. This is their paydays here.
I see what you're saying.
More money. Like, I can't even fathom it. So Pacquiao's going to win the first fight. Within 6 months.
How?
It's going to be points.
It's a decision, you're saying.
Decision.
Okay.
Second fight, Mayweather's going to win. Points.
Points. Decision.
Decision.
It's not
third
points.
Fight is going to be the real fight between them two.
What do you mean the real fight? Are you saying they're gonna like?
Oh, they're fucking. You know, they're in on it. They have it all planned out. They're gonna make like $1 billion off of these trilogy fights right
now.
I
completely disagree.
Whatever.
I don't think you. Okay, here's the thing. It's a very fun
integrity in boxing.
No, I think there is. There's no. The level of internal fortitude it takes to get to the level that. Floyd is at, especially Manny as well, but Floyd, because he's undefeated, is so beyond any amount of money that I don't think he would throw a fight for more money. No. He's not poor. No. He wants that legacy.
He's got $1 billion in his checking account. Real cool guy.
he wants that legacy. He wants to go down as the greatest fighter of all time, and he's fucking doing it. In my book, he is. I mean, I don't think he's going to lose this fight. I don't think if they fight again, he's going to lose this fight. I think the style is a terrible matchup for Pacquiao.
He's a little bigger.
Has that ever mattered?
Never.
Has that ever mattered?
It's boxing, not jiu-jitsu.
Totally, but...
I don't know.
I just don't see Floyd making the mistakes that Manny needs to capitalize. Floyd doesn't need people to make mistakes.
Right.
You know, he'll beat you when you're perfect.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be an exciting fight.
It depends what excites you. You know, I don't like...
I fall asleep, but boxing is so boring.
Man, I like it a lot.
You do?
Yeah, I like the idea of this, like, controlled... I don't know. It's just so minimalist. There's only so many things that could happen.
Yeah.
And yet, there's so many variables that most people don't see. I remember Virgil Hunter, who's Andre Ward's trainer, talks about how if you go to a fight and there's, say, let's say... how many people go to fights? Like, how many people fit in there? Like, 10,000 people?
A lot, yeah.
Let's say 10,000 people. Out of those 10,000 people, 9 know what's really going on. 9 can really tell what's happening, you know?
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. So I
want that many fighters.
I definitely don't think that Floyd is more interested in more money than being able to retire as undefeated.
Oh,
I think
he could retire. Oh, retiring as undefeated.
Undefeated.
Yeah.
I think that's what he really wants.
Yeah. I don't know. That's my prediction.
Sure, sure, sure.
It could be half, you know, probably exaggerate things a lot.
So. Sure, I know you do. But I think it's going to be a really fun fight in terms of two people with so much respect for each other trying to do enough. That's a trick. Doing just enough to win. But then as the rounds go on, you kind of have lost track of whether or not you think you did enough. And wait, because I don't know if they get to see, they don't see the scorecards. Like, shit, I don't know if this round is mine or...
Just 12.
Yeah, I see Floyd taking this. I see Manny getting a little wild towards the end, but
yeah,
Floyd just gonna do Floyd,
right?
You know, it's
Manny always gets a little wild in the end.
Yeah, he gets a little wild.
My girlfriend painted a picture for him.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, yeah.
So your girlfriend, whose art name is, what is it?
I'm Sherilyn.
Smell that. I am C H
E R L Y I N.
Yeah, she's been doing some paintings.
Yeah,
and how did it? Just explain the situation.
So she does these like paintings of couples in as like animals, right? And it's been going really well for her. People have been purchasing them, and people have been into it. So, one of her cousin's girlfriend is from the same province that Pacquiao's from in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
And they're around the same age, so everybody knows each other in these provinces.
Oh, good point. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So they're both in L.A., based out of L.A., and Pacquiao's doing this like weight loss challenge thing as he cuts weight.
Yeah, I saw that. One of the things, yeah.
So like she's involved in it too. So she sees him on like a more, like at least once a month. So she was like, my girl just did a painting for her and her boyfriend. So she was like, oh, you know, if you want one to make one for Pacquiao, I'll give it to him. And boom, week later, Pacquiao had it, and then we got the picture and she wrote something. You know, Filipinos are really like, their people is like, Pacquiao's the only famous person, Filipino.
Totally.
There's other ones that just you don't won't know about unless you're Filipino.
Mm.
So he's like the one that's doing it for
Their country. Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, so it's special to her and everything.
Of course, it should be. It's pretty amazing. If I had something that he touched, I'd be kind of a little freaked out too.
It was cool because I put the finish on it and I put the hook in, and boom, Pacquiao's.
He's touching. Now there's a picture that fucking one of the greatest boxers of all time.
Yeah, it's like that's some real shit. It's pretty cool.
It's weird how small the world is sometimes.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's really crazy. So, you know, maybe we'll get him on the podcast.
Maybe Manny Pacquiao will come to my bedroom in Bushwick.
Yeah, you know, maybe he'll hang out with us in here. Him
totally.
And like 30 people.
Oh, my God. Yeah, B-Boy. I can't remember the other guys' names.
I have no idea. That'd be sick, though.
Yeah, that's kind of... I don't know what it is. I think it's because I was raised very poor. I don't know what the right word is. I was poor. We're parents are immigrants. Like, I barely speak English. We're poor.
Yeah.
But whenever I see, like, the entourages they have... And like all the money, there's like cars. I'm like, oh, you're gonna be one of those poor athletes. Don't spend any money. Yeah, just save it all.
Save it. Put that shit in.
But he's at a like Floyd, man. They're at a point where it doesn't matter. It's not gonna happen.
I hope Manny's good. I mean, Manny's doing so much shit, and like every Filipino sings and dances. So he's all up there singing and shit. And
what? Yeah, what the fuck is something with money?
You never seen this?
What do you mean?
He sings. He does other things too.
Oh yeah, I know he owns a bunch of businesses.
Yeah.
They'll be fine financially. Yeah, yeah. It just still stresses me out when I'm like,
yeah,
why are you buying that? Just save it, and you don't have to be one of those sad athletes that are just poor.
Like a lot of them.
Yeah, man. Like that ESPN documentary Broke about football players that just
Ugh. They're the worst because they're straight hood. They're from the hood. They don't. Yeah. Nobody is financially advising them.
No.
The NCAA fucking takes so much money from them.
Well, they don't get any money.
Yeah, they exploit them.
Yeah, exactly. Tebow's exactly.
Jersey's number one selling jersey ever.
No money for him. That's insane.
I mean, he's doing really good things for everybody, but he's fine.
But he's one of the few.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys who help make money for these schools and for this whole thing. Oh, yeah. And they see nothing.
One of the biggest scams in America.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
South Park did a great episode on it.
Oh, did they?
My God. Yeah, Cartman dressed up like a slave owner from a plantation. And he's like, how much for one of your boys?
Oh, I did see that. Yeah, I remember
that. They're the fucking best.
Yeah, they're spot on. They open my eyes to a few things. And
yeah.
Helps me hate other groups of people.
Totally.
Oh.
The Redskin episode, I think, is still my favorite one.
I don't know.
Redskins? Oh, man. Yeah, fuck you. Fuck you. Yeah, big fuck you to all of you.
They've been doing it for a long time.
I've been killing it since I was like 9.
Yeah.
Like, I remember watching that shit when I was...
Fifth grade shit.
Yeah. Holy shit, that's a long time.
We're also old as fuck now.
No, we're not. We're babies.
Yeah, I know.
Getting
there. I was explaining something to a coworker, and I was like, yeah, 15 years ago, I would hang out in Washington Heights. And I was like,
yeah, 15 years ago. I could say that and not talk about before I was born.
Yeah.
Like, you know how... Whenever you think about...
I wasn't a kid. I had pubic hair.
Exactly, yeah.
I was having sex, too.
Thank you.
Sex for a long time. Real good at it.
It's weird that whenever I think about years, I always revert back to it being year 2000. Or even 2001. I'm like, oh, yeah, like 5 years ago. 1995 was 5 years ago.
It's still 2010, right?
Yeah.
Seven.
It's fucking weird.
Fuck. Man, I was going to add something. I totally forgot. It's all right. Forgot what I was gonna say.
It's all right, man. I'm sure it's cold.
It was gonna be fucking.
See how cute my dog is?
Yeah. Cute ass dog.
Yeah, cute dog. I got. Oh, I love you. Let me just get this out of your eye.
Yeah. Things in their eye. But what else? What are you gonna do today?
Today, I'm gonna go to work and I'm very sad that I can't. I'm missing out on the Brooklyn Crit, which is a track bike race.
Right.
Over in Red Hook. It's like people come from all over the world to compete in it and to watch it. And it's like. It's a few miles away from my apartment, and I can't go.
Yeah.
It's so annoying.
Yeah, work sucks.
Yeah, being a person who doesn't make much money is great.
Yep.
But, you know, whatever. I'm working hard. I'm very, very busy.
Yeah. I wonder where we're going to be in 10 years.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is it? 2006? What are we in? 15?
15. 25.
Oh, shit. That's only 10 years.
That's so long.
I hope... I'm healthy. I hope.
Black belt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I hope I'm a black belt by that. I wonder if I'm ever going to get. I wonder how long it's going to take me to get my black belt.
Yeah.
You know, like literally, how long is it going to take?
I hope I get mine in 10 years.
From now.
Yeah. Well, yeah. From now. So 13 years training.
It's weird how long it takes in jiu-jitsu, but compared to, like, taekwondo.
Oh, my God. You'd be fucking crushing in taekwondo. I don't even think I can get my hip to kick that high, actually.
Well, it takes time.
Yeah. But it'd be really cool, because, like, then you get into, like, a real fight, and then you just get, like, whooped, but you're a black belt.
Depends who you're fighting.
Yeah. If you're fighting some shitty hipster kid, just kick the shit out of him.
Yeah, man. Spin kick his fucking head off. Yeah.
I wish I could do stuff like that.
You could do it. It just takes time. What do you mean?
I wish I had the effort to put into a spin kick.
Okay, there you go. That's one way of wording it. I think that's good enough. We had some fun.
Yeah.
We didn't want to overdo it with just you and me.
Oh.
But hey, dude, it's good talking to you.
Yeah, man.
Guys, again, I'm sorry. We're trying our best. We're going to put some good episodes out soon. We're just, you know, some people get flaky.
Some videos.
I think flaky is even unfair. Yeah, people get busy.
Busy. People get busy. Shit happens, especially like the people we... talk to, they have stuff, a lot of stuff going on. And
yeah, and if you guys know people you want on the show, tweet at them.
Yeah.
You know, mention us at Walking Alone NYC, at Danny Screams. You know, put them out there that we want to talk to people that are doing cool shit, especially in Brooklyn, especially in New York City. I know Matt Scramble is in town right now. I'm trying to talk to him, see if maybe he'll be down to do one. I don't know how long he's in town, but I'm a big fan of what they do.
Yep, we're portable.
We're portable.
If anybody has any questions for us.
Yeah, shoot questions, I guess.
Questions, real personal ones.
Get some real personal shit out there.
Yeah, and we'll answer it on the podcast.
I'll text you the answer.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you. Have a good day. Yeah. WalkingLittleNYC.com. Yeah, boy.